Hello, welcome to whatever episode of Mood Swings this is. I'm afraid it's another solo one with me just talking about Bangkok some more. But before we get into that, I'll just say a couple of things. And thanks everyone listened to last week's episode. I looked at the numbers. I mean, the solo ones, obviously, I think because, you know, it's just the guys really that follow, well, the guys and girls and just everyone that follows the podcast that really kind of has an interest in those ones, because it's obviously just me, whereas get episodes with a guest, you get in there people that are interested in that person, which I'm sure is much more than people that are just interested in me. So, yeah. But the numbers for last week's episode, the downloads, I was really pleasantly surprised when I just looked at them. So thanks to everyone that listened to that one. I hope it was interesting. And I'm assuming if you're listening now, it was interesting enough to bring you back for a second dose. I'm going to try and finish off all my Bangkok banter in this second episode, but I mean, I really thought it was going to be one episode, and I fucked that right up. So if it runs on to three, I'm sorry. It will be probably next week again, so probably 3 weeks of just listening to me talk about Bangkok. But if you know anything about me, I've been fucking horrendously busy whilst since I got back. So I've not actually had much time to record any episodes. So there's loads of guests. I feel like I say this all the time now. And then you get one podcast and then it's back to me either just not putting stuff out or talking to myself. But I've got loads of podcasts in the pipeline. I am aware to go away again to Leeds, but that doesn't obviously mean no podcast. It could mean some exciting guests from there. But yeah, when I get back, I'm going to get some episodes recorded with some really exciting people that I really want to get lined up. But anyway, that's by the by. Oh, one other thing I wanted to say was that the Spencer Brown podcast, loads and loads of downloads for part one. Part two, it took me a little while to get it out, but go listen to it, because if you enjoy part one, which lots of people seem to have, part two is just more of the same. So please go and take a look at part two if you've not listened to it. Don't think the first part with an hour, that was more than enough. Part two is just as good. And maybe even, I'm trying to think about it. It's hard for me to remember exactly where the cutoff was, but I think a lot of the important, really kind of deep down stuff was in part two, so make sure you have a listen to that as well. And yeah, if you like the Muay Thai ones, there's Liam Harrison, there's Rich Cadden, there's Shane O'Neill, and there might be some more people coming up. So please prepare yourself. Please be prepared to go and have a look at the back catalogue. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to try and cut back in where I finished off from last time. If I remember right, I was still at Kiat Bon Tip, in the swamps of Bangkok. I feel like swamp's a word with a sort of negative connotation. Makes it sound as if I'm being derogatory towards Kiat Bon Tip, which I'm not. But it was kind of on a swamp. A lovely swamp at that. I feel like Shrek now. Moving swiftly on. Yeah, so I think I was still at Kiat Bon Tip. I think I was about midweek when I finished recording the last episode. Yeah, so I stayed and trained at Kiat Bon Tip for the week. The food was amazing. As I said, I got ill for that half day, but kind of managed to push through that. And yeah, just settled in. It was really ace. I spent a lot of time with people I just met there, which was great to be on the other side of the world and kind of very quickly be comfortable with people I just met. And to, I think sometimes when you travel, or sometimes when I travel anyway, I'm very worried about what if I get split up from the people I'm with, or what if, you know, I was kind of worried that I'd be left on my own a lot, but then as soon as I was over there, being left on my own was not or a big deal, or just being left to socialise with people that I met there was like not an issue at all, which was a nice feeling just to have gone on the other side of the world and within a few short days having kind of made some new friends. So yeah, I spent a bit of time with just guys from the gym, not really doing much. You don't really do much when you're out there training hard. You get up, you train in the morning, have something to eat, go to sleep usually. You get up, you kind of wander down to 7-Eleven, get some juice, maybe get some food, wander back, and that's pretty much it. Then you train again, and then have some food, wander at the 7-Eleven, get some food and some juice, wander back, go to bed, and repeat the cycle. But it kind of is ace, and that's kind of all you feel like you need to do. I suppose the training is really hard and that takes it out of you, but yeah, it's quite easy to get into kind of a simple sort of way of life there, and it's always like a good laugh, which I can't, I mean, everyone always goes on about things being a good laugh, but I mean, that was like one of my favorite bits, was just speaking and, you know, the banter at the dinner table and stuff. It sounds very whimsical, but I don't know. It was something special, but I think it's very easy to go on holiday and remain anonymous, which definitely didn't happen on this trip. And I think I spoke a little bit about how special that kind of feels in part one. But yeah, I'm trying not to repeat myself, so I'll go on to more onto stories I know I haven't told. So yeah, the last day, kind of Kiakman Tip kind of rolled around almost too quickly. The day before, on the Friday, one of the guys who met Dom from Liverpool, I think you hear about it in Thailand all the time, you hear these mad stories about people being asked to fight it, sometimes minutes notice, but more commonly, you know, people get told or asked or told, you're fighting tomorrow, kind of thing. And that kind of happened with our friend Dom. We got up for training in the morning, I think it was morning training, and the coach Yard came up to him and just kind of said, Dom, you fight tomorrow. And I think he said his shins were sore, and Yard just said, oh, that's okay, just don't kick, just clinch your knee. And so that's kind of the mentality. So yeah, you hear about that all the time, but being out there and to see someone we become friends with be told you're fighting tomorrow, and at that point to know we were then going to get to see someone that we knew fight was an ace feeling, just be part of it. I remember that actually gave me a real boost for training that day, just to know that, like, yeah, now someone that we trained with was going to be fighting and we were going to get to watch that. So yeah, that was cool. And then the next day, obviously, was our last day, the Saturday. So I trained on the Saturday morning and then again in the evening. And I was the only one out of the three of us from Aberdeen that I travelled over with that trained on the Saturday evening. And the one thing we hadn't had any of the whole week in the sort of training was any Muay Thai sparring. We'd done boxing sparring a fair bit, but no Thai sparring. So I was fucking delighted, although annoyed at myself, because I'd given my shin guards to my friend Lewis to take to the hotel with him, because I thought I wouldn't need them anymore. So yeah, I'd given them away, but so I was delighted to be asked, do you want to do some Thai sparring, but also furious myself that I'd given away my shin guards. Luckily, I kept my gum shield at the gym. So yeah, got my gum shield in and got my shin guards on, and got to go to the ring and do a bit of Thai sparring. And yeah, I mean, like, to say that most of the people in the ring were more experienced than me would be an understatement, but got some ace rounds in, had a really good fun round with Marco, one of the lads there from Peru, had an ace round with him. And then the best bit about the sparring was, I mean, I had loads of ace rounds with guys more experienced than me, and that's when you learn most of the stuff, is sparring people more experienced than you, because though they can batter you without actually battering you, it's not an all-out war, but they can pick holes in your technique or in your flaws that you've got and then expose them, and that's kind of when you learn where you're weakest and you can build from that. But yeah, I did have one of my favourite parts about that whole thing was the Thais all kind of stand around the ring, the Thai trainers, and watching you spar. And I all kind of heard about how, like, much the Thais love Muay Thai and how, like, crazy they go when you score and stuff. And I was sparring one lad, and he tried to kick me, and I caught it, and then I sweeped him, and it was like a proper, if you know anything about Muay Thai, you know, you can sweep someone and they kind of just stumble and fall back in the ropes, or stumble and fall back over, or you get those sweeps, you proper kick the leg and they go up in the air and the whole body falls and it makes a big fucking bang. And it was one of those which I don't often get, because I'm not the greatest at sweeping, so absolutely fucking delighted. And the Thai trainers and everyone that, you know, around the ring was watching, it's like screaming, oh yeah, big massive shouts. And I honestly felt like I was the fucking Lumpini champion, or just like champion of the world. If you don't know about what Lumpini is, yeah, I felt like the fucking bee's knees, the absolute balls. Like I fucking completed Muay Thai. Like, I thought that's me. I don't need to dance anymore. It was an ace feeling. That's just like in a little bit of sparring. So I can only imagine what it's like to fight in Thailand and get that experience, which hopefully will, at some stage I will get. But yeah, moral of the story, don't get too confident, because about a minute later or 30 seconds later, the guy, probably a bit fucking fucked off that I'd just sweeped him and had this great reaction from the coaches, he came forward, jabbing to my body and swinging these big right hand over, like big right hands over the top. I knew what he was doing, and I knew what in theory I could do to avoid it. But then I just remember hearing my friend Dom, who was fighting that night, shouting, "Chin down, chin down." Although he's not Thai, he's from Liverpool. I don't know why I did that accent. "Chin down, chin down." Sorry, Dom, if you're listening. But I just heard him shouting, "Chin down." And at that point, I felt a fucking big right meaty right hand connect with the side of my face. And I mean, I've been punched pretty hard back in the UK, but I never really felt quite like that. But I think the heat and, you know, this was quite a few rounds in. I was tired late in the day. That punch felt like a fucking sledgehammer. It just felt like everything. It felt like someone had sucked the energy from... So, like, yeah, I say it felt like a sledgehammer. The punch did hurt, but not hugely. But it was just kind of like the punch connected, and then it felt like the energy was just pulled out from, like, drained from underneath my feet. It just felt like the energy was sapped out of my body. My face didn't particularly feel like I'd been absolutely belted, or it wasn't particularly sore. It didn't feel like it was going to, like, you know, like, it didn't properly rattle my face or anything. But I just felt all the energy drained from me, and I had to take, like, I think about 20 seconds off sparring, because I just felt like absolute death just from this one big punch. Like I say, I've never really felt like that in sparring in back home before, or any of the gyms I've been to around the UK. I've always kind of just, well, it's a big punch and just taking it. But yeah, that was the start glass, and then how you can go from hero to zero in quite quick succession. But it's all part of training. And yeah, I absolutely loved that last session. It was great, like I say, to get to spar in front of all the people that had been training me that weekend. Like I said, I didn't feel like I was my best in when I was at the gym, and I don't know. I didn't look amazing in the sparring or anything, but I felt like I got to show a little bit more of myself doing that, and show that I wasn't complete crap, and that I can actually spar at a reasonable, not high level, but you know, I'm not a total beginner. I've got a little bit about me. Probably not. They probably didn't think that at all. They probably thought the standard over there is completely different. But we don't need to get into that. It's about how it made me feel, and it made me. I felt really ace getting to spar on that last night. Yeah, and then moving on from that, we went and had my last dinner there. I said thank you to all, like, you know, those people that just kind of work at the gym that do your laundry and do the cooking and are just kind of around and make the shorts and stuff like that, and then said goodbye to all of them. It was quite sad. I didn't really want to leave Kiap on Tip, to be honest. I felt like a week definitely wasn't long enough, and I really hope to go back there at some point in the future. But yeah, and then it was time to go to Dom's fight. I'd arranged to meet the other lads just over there, so had our dinner, and I packed my bag, and they said, like, "All right, get in the truck." And I was like, "Are we all going over in this truck?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I was thinking, like, there's about 12 or 15 of us going in this truck. How are we all going to fit? But, you know, I didn't really question it too much. Didn't think too much into it. And then, yeah, I walked out with my bag and that on, ready to get in the car. And they're like, "Okay, in you go." And I looked around, and there was, like, the boot was sitting there, like, the back of the truck, where you normally keep your dog or your luggage or whatever. And there was, like, four lads already in there, two lads standing waiting to get in after I had. They said, "Come on, just get in." And I was like, "What?" And they, "Yeah, come on, this is what we always do." So next thing I know, I had my bag in between my legs. And like, "It's not very far, we'll be fine." And we just all got stuffed in the back of this truck. And yeah, you hear the expression Thai style quite a lot when you're in Thailand, and that was a proper Thai style. So we said, yeah, six lads, some of them who are, I mean, they put the tallest lads in the actual car, which I was grateful for, but the rest of us all just kind of in with our knees at our chests, and me with my bag somewhere sitting on my body with boxing gloves hanging from it. Yeah, it was not the comfiest journey of my life, but also it was something I was very glad that actually I got to experience. It was pretty cool, not gonna lie. I definitely felt like I was experiencing something like, what's the term? Authentic in Thailand in terms of Muay Thai and the culture that surrounds that, and just in the, like the way that Thailand is different to the UK, I guess. So yeah, we all got in the truck. We got over to Asia Teak, and at this point, I hadn't really seen any Muay Thai in. Other than the training in Thailand, so I was excited to see the show. It was cool to get there, and there was like the place where the show was, and there's huge like big gold like sort of statues of people in Thai stances and stuff, and it was like live Muay Thai tonight, a picture of our mate, and then the other person that was fighting was our trainer's son, who was 14. You know, there are pictures up on the wall and stuff. There was just the two bouts that were on, and yeah, like I said, I hadn't had a beer the whole first week that we were there and stuff, so at this point it was just this. We went and the guy, he was fighting Dom, and a couple of the lads, they went up to get him ready, get him prepared for the fight, and the rest of us just went to kind of a bar nearby and got to sit down and have a beer and stuff, and it was really ace just to sit and have a beer with the lads, get him ready to watch Dom fight. Then we went in, watched the fights. Dom was up first. He lost a points decision, although maybe being slightly biased, but it was a very close fight, and I thought he'd won. I said that to him straight after. I thought you won that. And the second fight was like our trainer's son, and it was fucking crazy. So it was two lads. I know the trainer's son was 14. I imagine the other lad would have been about the same age. He certainly looked it. And the first two rounds, so it was a 3-round fight. The first two rounds are our guy, the trainer's son, absolutely battered this boy, kicked him all over the shop, definitely up winning on points. And the third round, they touched gloves, and the other lad, knowing the point, needed the knockout to win, came absolutely flying at our boy, winging in big hooks and big punches, and one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen. Our lad, I wish I'd learned his name now because it would make this much easier, but our trainer's son just kind of was like, took a second to compose himself when all these big punches came in, and then just stepped forward with a fucking huge up elbow from hell and knocked the boy clean out, and he was flat out on his face for a minute or a couple of minutes anyway, and it was insane. Just kind of wasn't what I was expecting with the first fight, Dom's fight, although it was a hard fight, you know, it didn't really look like either lad was going to get knocked out in such a dramatic fashion, you know, say it was a hard fight, and then this fight, the lad that we were there to support was so dominant, and he was winning, like, on a nice points decision, and then to see it, like, for the first time in the fight, I was worried for him, because these massive punches were coming in, and he just fucking, like, went through the boy, like, it was unreal. Yeah, it was amazing to see that live. And also what was amazing was like our trainer, he's obviously this kid's dad, and the other people that go to these fights all the time, wasn't even a big deal for them, like, to watch such a dramatic knockout. I mean, if someone had been filming that, and if that was on a big show, a big Muay Thai show, or a big MMA promotion, that'd be like, you know, probably like viral video stuff, do you know what I mean? And that's just what goes on, I think, all the time in Thailand, probably 10 times a day, maybe more than that, all over this, like, all over Bangkok. I think I honestly felt like it was honestly unreal. So yeah, it was really good to witness just like a bit of that more like authentic Muay Thai. I went to one championship the week after. Maybe I'll get onto that in this podcast, maybe not. And it was brilliant as well. It's obviously very like kind of highest level of Muay Thai, but it was really, really cool to see, firstly, two people that I'd been training with in the gym and seen train, and then just to see this Muay Thai that's more like authentic was this. And then, yeah, shortly after that, we got our, you know, we got, the lads got showered and changed. We all went for another beer. We climbed in the back of the truck again. And we were going into Bangkok for our first night out. Yeah, got checked in the hotel. Heard the unfortunate news that apparently Koh San Road, which is sort of the main party street in Bangkok, was all shut off because of the king's coronation. The grand palace where the king, I think, stays, is quite close to Koh San Road, so I'm assuming that's why it is that they didn't want that side where all this kind of the parade and stuff was going to be. They didn't want partying and drinking and that there, so we had to go to Sukhumvit Road. I can't remember. This is the night of the infamous Tuk Tuk Trash. I can't remember exactly what point we got the tuk tuk. I mean, we'd started drinking by this point. It's hard, it all kind of blurs into one, but we definitely got in a tuk tuk first of all. I remember my friend Lewis, of course, screaming faster, faster. The tuk tuk fucking crashed. And then the next thing, we just jumped in a cab, kind of just darted out with the fucking tuk tuk. Yeah, jumped in a cab and just said, the boys, Sukhumvit Road. And I think this is when this occurred. The next thing you know, we're flying down the motorway in a cab, all laughing at what happened to the tuk-tuk. Next thing we know, we hear sirens, which you just heard there. Actually, no. There was no sirens. But we just felt the cab and the taxi driver go to pull in the side of the road. We're like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he shouted, police, police. We were thinking, what the fuck? And yeah, next thing we know, the police are pulling us all over. We're getting pulled over the side of the road, and all of us are getting made to get this car. Dom, who just fought, was shouting, "We Nak Muay, We Nak Muay," which means Nak Muay is someone who does Muay Thai. And the next thing, like, the police are all, got us all out of this car, including the driver, and we're all getting our wallets searched, getting patted down. I mean, I was a bit boozy by this point, but from what I can remember, the police were very nice. But it was quite like a wake-up call as to like how quickly things can turn in Thailand. Like, you could be 1 minute just be mind your business about the car, and next thing you're getting pulled over. 20 minutes before that, in a tuk-tuk crash, like, it was just a different pace of life there. And that was kind of probably quite a... We hadn't really experienced that in a Kiapontip up in Salaya yet by that point, so this was kind of like a rude awakening to that kind of side of things. And then we went up to Sukhumvit Road, went to some kind of random bar first of all and had a beer, and we're with this lad Kurt. I might have got this in the wrong order. The tuk-tuk slash taxi getting pulled over might have happened later than this. Oh, it's really hard to remember when it all occurred. But yeah, we all went to some random bar. The lad Kurt, who just arrived that day, was really struggling with the heat. I remember us all buying a beer each and him buying two bottles of water from the bar. It cost him about the same as a fucking beer. Like, each bottle of water cost about the same as a beer. I felt really bad for him because he was really, really struggling with the heat, even at that time of night when it is slightly cooler. But I could definitely relate because a few days before, I'd been fucking having a nightmare with the heat. And we end up in some Australian bar, and that was when you kind of just sort of started to see the party scene in Thailand, which I can't really remember too much from that first night, other than everyone playing beer pong, which I had absolutely no interest in getting involved with. And also that I discovered that, like in the UK, in Thailand I still have the horrendous drunk eyes that I get, and after a few beers everyone's asking me if I'm okay. So I was at the bar, you know, going to order a pint, and I had like all the bar staff and the bar manager kind of being like, "Sir, are you okay? Are you okay?" And as soon as I opened my mouth, I said, "Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Just wait to buy a drink." They immediately, "Okay, no problem, okay, no problem." But before that, obviously seeing my stupid Scottish face, assuming that I was absolutely hammered, they were like, "Sir, are you okay? Please sit down, are you okay?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And it'd lead me to it. We also, after that, I can remember this part, we'd spent ages in a cab trying to find some place that was called like Shock 39 or something that we were promised was open until the early hours, and we got there just as it closed and everyone was coming out, and then we went back to the hotel. I don't know whether it was the fight or the booze or a combination of both, but I remember Dom being pretty boozy in the lift, which was funny. And yeah, that was night one of Bangkok. Well, central Bangkok, done. I've done that fucking thing again where I took a pause and went away and I forgot exactly where I was. But I'm pretty sure I left you, I just finished night one in central Bangkok. So yeah, the next day I got up and it was a bit of a nightmare, to be honest. I got up, I was really hungry. Obviously in the centre of Bangkok, on Koh San Road, you're not struggling for places to eat. But, as I said earlier, a lot of places were shut because of the King's coronation. And I was really hungry. So I had a quick Google, as you do in these scenarios, and I saw that there was a vegetarian restaurant just 5 minutes away from where I was staying. So I was like, that's not too far. I went and saw if... Did I? No, I didn't. I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to go myself. The other lads won't be interested in vegetarian food anyway. This place is just down the road. They'll probably want to go somewhere that won't really appeal to me. And even if it does, fuck it, I'm on holiday. Maybe I can have more food later. And, yeah. So, nipped out. Walking down the Koh San Road. Doing my little speed walk. Hungry, hungry, hungry. Saw a few things on the menu I kind of fancied. Want to get there as quick as I can. Get stopped. There's this massive, like, checkpoint thing in the middle of Koh San Road. And I was like, what is this about? Turned out that the area I was going into on the other side of this checkpoint was like where the king was going to be coming past. So they were checking like everyone's passports and checking everyone in, giving everyone a pass, checking in people's car. If you had a camera, you had to have that checked and registered. And I said, and a lot of people on Koh San Road were tourists, which made this process a lot longer because they weren't Thai nationals. I was a tourist as well, so I can't like speak of them as if it's, you know, they're a massive inconvenience to me. And yeah, it was a bit of a nightmare. So halfway through the checkpoint, using my provisional, which is probably almost out of date now as well, and I've not even had one fucking driving lesson. But yeah, I got halfway through that checkpoint using my provisional, and then I got to a stage and like, oh, we need your passport number. I was like, oh, I don't have my passport, it's back in my hotel. And they just said, okay. I was like, do I need to go back to my hotel? I said, yes. I was like, all right, fair enough. Went back to the hotel, got my passport, went to go through the checkpoint. It was even longer the second time. I don't know if it just felt longer because I'd done it already, or if it was longer. I think it actually was longer, to be fair. But it took forever. Finally got through. I mean, when I say it took forever, I can't say it took forever. I mean, literally, because it's just not true. But it was a very, very arduous process, and it, I mean, I'm quite good in queues and stuff, I like to think anyway, but that really did seem to take forever, maybe because I was hungry. But I got through, I went and went along to where this vegetarian restaurant was supposed to be, and it was shut because of the King's coronation. So I was absolutely gutted. But right next to it, there was a place that said vegetarian Indian restaurant. And of course, I am very partial to Indian food. So I thought, you know what, maybe it's a bit early in the day for curry. But I'm hungry. This place is open. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to walk around and find somewhere else. Let's get stuck in. So, yeah. I sat down. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. Sat down and got the menu. And this place was, I don't know if you would have, if you followed me on social media whilst I was there, and I can't remember how much I actually said about this place. But this was the place that I think I went to 4 times whilst I was in Bangkok. I sat down, the menus were all kind of like that laminated plasticky style menu, the tables were all kind of like, you know, I don't want to be nasty, but like cheap looking. It was like an open plan style place with fans. But I don't know, I had a feeling about it. I had a feeling it would be good. So I sat down, I had my, had the menu in front of me, and like honestly there was too much that I was looking at. And it had all the pictures and stuff on the menu as well, and it all looked fucking like unreal, like authentic sort of dirty curry. And I thought, you know, I really want to eat all of this. So in the end, I went for the thali, which I don't know if you eat much Indian food, but a thali is where you sort of get a few little bowls of a couple of dishes, and you get some rice and some bread and a couple other bits. So I just went for that. And I have this kind of Pepsi thing. It was like an off-brand cola drink that they have in Thailand. I've never seen it anywhere else. Is it called, like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's even, I think it's better than Coca and Pepsi. It's so sweet. I don't know how much sugar is in that thing, but it was incredible. So I had one of those with my curry. And yeah, it was ace. I was super chuffed for myself. And as I said, I think this is going to end up being 3 episodes, but if I speak about this again, I'll probably reference this place on multiple times. It was brilliant. In fact, there will be one time, whether it's on this podcast or another, that I'll talk about this place. It was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, after that, went back to my hotel, very full. Didn't have to go through the checkpoint this time because I had a pass. Wait for it. And then got back to the hotel. Went in, thought I'll go see what my friend's up to. And of course at this point he decided he wanted to go get something to eat. And I had nothing else to do the rest of the day. But where did we have to go through? The checkpoint. So I got through the checkpoint obviously without any queuing, because then I had a pass. I had to wait for him. So a third time waiting the checkpoint, but it is what it is. Not his fault. Just one of those things. And you'll remember a few minutes ago I suggested that if we do go for food, I mean, I'm on holiday, I can have a second dinner. I mean, we didn't go straight for food, we had a bit of a walk around and stuff, but then we end up going to, we find a little pizza place, and I'm ashamed to say I got a small pizza to, on top of my already thali, which is a big curry lunch. I lost control, guys. But yeah, it was delicious. And the rest of the day was the sort of King's Coronation, which was really cool to see, really special to see. There'd been people out for hours by this point. I think some people actually sleep out on the street overnight to try and get a good view of where the King's going to go past. We'd come off Koh San and we're on this other street, so we had a little bit of a wander around there, kind of keeping our eye back on everything that was going on, waiting for this parade to start. And yeah, we went around, we found a really cool, I feel like I'm telling you like every detail is holiday. We found a really cool gift shop, and I bought a couple of vests, and there was a samurai sword that my pal fucked about with. No one died, thankfully. And yeah, the important thing was the King's Coronation. It was really cool, like really humbling to see how the Thai people responded to seeing their king and having that kind of tradition. They were all shouting something in Thai, which I believe translates to "it's not good luck." I can't remember what it is, but I did find out. I asked someone and they told me. I'll try and find out for you in 2 seconds. Okay, I took a brief pause there, but I didn't totally forget my place, as I fucking normally do. So it turned out the Thais were shouting "wishing" is what they were shouting out towards their king. So we sat there for ages. I'll tell you just a little bit of background. We ended up speaking to a girl from South Africa who just come over to teach English in Bangkok. She was by herself, so we got chatting to her for a bit. And they made all of us kind of sit towards the back with all the Thai people in front. And we weren't allowed to sit with, like, we were sitting sort of on the edge of the curb at first, and we had our knees sort of up under against our chest. We got told, they had translators there in the Thai kind of authorities told us that we had to sit with our knees down because it's against Thai tradition, or it's kind of frowned upon to show your knees to the king. Similar, if you go to the Grand Palace, you have to wear trousers and you have to have your shoulders covered as well. So yeah, they were pretty strict about it. We got told we had to sit with our knees down because we had shorts on, and then secondly, we got told we had to go to the back of the of that row, sort of like back row of that section or whatever, for when the king came past, because like they were taking that seriously. And I mean, we weren't like near the king by any stretch of the imagination. He was well off in the distance. And like I say, yeah, when he came past, all the Thai people, there was all the kind of marching band, and all the Thai people were shouting, I can't remember what it was in Thai, but obviously it was wishing was what it translates to in the UK. I don't know, it was pretty cool. I think it was, well, it perfectly balanced. It was worth missing out on a couple of days of partying and seeing Koh Samui Road in full swing. The one thing I am kind of disappointed in was, it would have been cool to have arrived on the Saturday night and Koh Samui be 100% full on crazy, going for it, and just had that like, wow, this is what it's all about. Whereas kind of what happened in the end was, it was kind of a slow burn, but yeah, it was perfectly sort of balanced. And that Sunday night, went back to Koh Samui after seeing the king, and not really much was going on, just kind of chilled out really. Yeah, nowhere was really open for much, unfortunately. But yeah, after that, we had the Monday, and you sort of started to get the feel on Koh Samui Road on the Monday that things were possibly going to start to pick up. How do I describe this? I think the King's Coronation was due to finish on the Monday, so you got the feeling that they might get a little bit more lax with the bars and stuff. So, and right enough, Monday night was our first sort of proper night out on Koh Samui Road. We trained during the day on Monday at a nice little gym that we just found on a place called Muay Thai Street. It was kind of family run. It was a dad and the son with two of the trainers, and a couple other guys were in there as well. It was air-conned, which was a massive fucking boost after the first week of absolute sweating at Kiap on Tip. So yeah, we went out there, trained there, and then we went back to our pool, had a few drinks at the pool, and then went for our first night on Kiap on Tip, out on Koh Samui Road, which yeah, it was a bit like weird, because Koh Samui Road was obviously this long street full of different bars and clubs and stuff, whereas on that Monday night, although like it was sort of like half open, and we found one place that was willing to play like music really loud and have people dancing and drinking, everywhere else was kind of still had all that shut off, because they were worried about the King's Coronation was still going on, I guess. But yeah, it was great, and that was kind of like I said before, it was a bit disappointing not to just be totally flung into Koh Samui and to totally get that shock of it, but it was also kind of good to get that Monday night was sort of a bit of a warm up for what Koh Samui Road was going to be like the rest of the week. It's hard to remember specifics on that night, because all the nights just rumbled into one, but I think it was good I remember just feeling it was great to just finally have like a proper like blowout to like loud music. Like I said, the Saturday when we went out was kind of more of like a bar. Yeah, there was like, it was funny just to see like the proper like that sort of stereotypical party scene that you see on like all these movies about holidays, etc. To actually see that play out in front of us, even though, like I say, the Monday night was the tamest one, it was funny to finally be in the midst of that. I think that's going to do us for this part of Explain Bangkok. We'll do a third part. Maybe I'll try and do that as a bonus episode or something. I'm going to Leeds next week, so I'm hoping to get some podcasts recorded there. If there's anyone you want me to speak to in Leeds, feel free to drop me a message or anything. I had some really ace response to the Spencer Brown podcast. So if there's anyone in the anyone in the Muay Thai community you want me to speak to, it generally seems to be quite like a close-knit thing. So if there's anyone you think would have a really interesting story or just want to hear chat to me, please drop me a message and let me know or if you do Muay Thai yourself, or you're involved with the sport in any way, and you'd like to talk about Muay Thai and preferably mental health as well, and please get in touch. Totally open to that. I travel about a fair bit, so I'm sure we can make it happen at some point, somewhere. All right, cheers for listening to me ramble on these past couple weeks just about my experiences in Bangkok. I know it's not the most probably exhilarating thing compared to some of the podcasts I've had, but like I say, I've been really, really busy at the moment, and speaking about Bangkok was something I definitely wanted to do because it was a big experience for me. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another one of these podcasts and hopefully something else for you as well. Cheers. Bye.